So while I pray, you can be praying as your heads are bowed. Most gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for the privilege to pray for Lucy. She's one of yours. She's one of ours. Your grace is upon her. Your salvation is within her. I know you can take this fluid from her lungs. I'm asking you to do that. I know you can. Or if you wish to give the doctors the wisdom that is necessary, please do it. To perform what needs to be done very quickly, no doubt. We thank you that we can come to you with anything and everything. And you hear our prayers. I thank you that you're listening right now. I thank you for your love and your concern. I pray right now that you will give her peace and Dwayne peace that passes all human understanding. To know that you are there within them, you're in the room, you're everywhere present. May the doctors know you are there and feel your presence. Guide their every thought and every move. We ask this simply to your glory. A testimony that gives evidence of who you are. Father, we pray again as we look at future events that Jesus prophesied would come. So it's not something we're going to pray away, is it? It's something we're going to have to learn how to be salt and light in the midst of it. How to proclaim God's word when needed and called for. Standing ground. Going forward. Proclaiming the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, for there is nothing greater. So we pray for a mind that is open, a heart that is open, to be able to comprehend what we're about to hear. If we think it's bad now, it's going to get a whole lot worse. It is the time to be deeply rooted in the Word of God and in Jesus Christ Himself. You might want to check your intimacy with Him when you get home. How close are you to Jesus at this moment? If you're not close, you better get closer. Because what's coming, you're going to want to be up in His arms for protection. I thank you for warning us. I thank you for your absolute truth and absolute reality. It seems reality has escaped so many today. So is truth, absolute truth. Do not fear. Do not be afraid of anything. Obey the Lord. Obey His word. Let Ephesians 5:18 be a daily scripture. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled, controlled, divinely persuaded by the power of the Holy Spirit. Let Him live His life in you and through you. Let Him lead you in your battles. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Take your printout as we begin. I hope you have something to write with. I am trying to write down everything you would if you were taking notes, so you won't spend all your time taking notes. but you'll be able to read and open that mind and ask for divine knowledge and understanding and perception. You'll notice the title, How Should We Respond? And I'll finish that with what Jesus has prophesied, with what Jesus has already told us is going to come, is going to happen, is going to take place in the days ahead. What He has told you is going to happen, again, is not something you can pray away. It's not going to go away. It has already been prophesied. So it is going to happen. I think the question is, how prepared are you to meet what is coming? I'm going to be real honest with you. I try to be that way all the time. If you're not prepared, this is going to turn your life inside out and upside down. Some of you will lose your sanity. You'll lose your minds. You'll lose perception. You'll lose reality. You'll get caught up in compromise, maybe corruption. You won't come to church. You're afraid of what someone may say. Maybe you're afraid of what you might suffer. Terry, I might lose my job for the sake of Christ. What a glory. How close are you to Jesus Christ? How intimate are you with Him? I hope you'll get as close as you can. Because what is coming, and no doubt you're already seeing a foretaste of it. It's been happening for a long, long time. Now it's getting worse. Lawlessness, ignorance, stupidity, people listening to false teachings, false doctrines. Demons are alive and well in what they're doing in society and all around the world today. So you and I need to be as grounded as we can in the Word of the living God and live under the Lordship of Jesus Christ. How should we respond to all that is coming? Let's begin with the introduction. We have looked in depth at specific signs Jesus gave to alert us. Underline the two words, alert and us. And here's a little note you might want to make. A warning given that we make the necessary preparations. Alert us is a warning given that we make the necessary preparations. We have looked in depth at specific signs Jesus gave. And who is Jesus? He is God. So He is able to predict the future. To alert us as Christian people, believers in Jesus Christ, who have the Holy Spirit within them and are to call upon Him in every scene of life. Remember, every scene of life has eternal consequences. That we are nearing the wrap-up of the age. Underline the word age. It is the church age that we are talking about. We are living at this moment in the church age, or the age of grace. The next event that will take place, the Bible says, will be the rapture of the church. It is the body of Christ. The wrap-up of the age, the church age. Jesus declared that these signs, like road markers along a highway, should awaken us. Underline the word awaken. It means to stir the interest. The most important thing in your life right now should be the Word of the living God. Your interest, your focus should be on nothing but the Word of God and Jesus Christ Himself. It should awaken us or stir the interest to the fact, underline the word fact, which refers to that which is real. And we're talking about absolute reality and absolute truth. To the fact that the prophetic road we're on is leading us straight to the time of His return. His return will be the rapture. Will He come all the way down the planet Earth at that time? The answer is no. he will not. Jesus forecasted, underline the word forecasted, it refers to coming events. These are events that are going to come. There's nothing we can do to change that. So we must prepare ourselves to face what will come in due time. Jesus forecasted at the very end of the age, the church age, there would be an emergence. Underline the word emergence. It means a rising up of things. Of the following events and trends in society. Let's begin. We've already covered all of these. Worldwide moral delusion. Are we seeing that at this moment? If you watched the Democratic Convention, you saw a lot of this. Doctrinal deception in the church. Does that surprise you that it's going to take place in the church? If it begins in the church, it should be immediately faced and confronted. If that person is not willing to correct biblically his or her teaching, then they are to be escorted out of the church immediately. Wars and rumors of wars, we're hearing that. Political upheavals, we're seeing that every time we turn on the TV. Revolutions, commotions, uncivil politics, nations rising against nations, kingdoms rising against kingdoms, famines, shortages, deficits of all types, great numbers of earthquakes, the emergence of old and new diseases. The coronavirus will not be the last disease you're going to face or encounter. What will come after this is going to be staggering. If this is holding you back and holding you down, then you better prepare for what's going to come behind it. The diseases will not get any easier. They will be harder. Prepare. How do I do that? How do I stand in the face of the coronavirus? Stand in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Please exercise common sense in a spiritual way. And believe that Jesus Christ will protect His children. As you continue, and listen to me, as you continue being salt and being light as a child of God in this world, and in a place, geographically speaking, where He has placed you. Again, there is no backing up. There is no tapping out. Be bold in Jesus Christ. Monstrous developments in science. Great signs descending from the heavens. Persecution and prosecution of believers in Jesus Christ. I ask this question every day that I get up and in my prayers. Are there more today, Heavenly Father, that will stand for You? Are there more today that will sacrifice for You when called upon in front of unbelievers to stand as a child of the Lord Jesus Christ? False prophets and widespread fake religious movements. The increase of iniquity across the face of the earth. The love of many waxing cold. The gospel being heralded to every part of the world as a precursor. The word precursor means of what precedes the end of the church age here in context. Let's look at this question. Number one, how many people groups have never heard the gospel? A, at this time there are about 7,078 unreached people groups amounting to about 3.14 billion people who have never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. There are approximately 5 billion mobile phones in the world now. Many have the possibility of internet connections. Considering the population of the earth is almost 7.6 billion people, And you can add to that. This could mean that almost 63% of the world's population has a mobile phone. There are additional signs that need to be seriously pondered and discussed. Number one, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, the Apostle Paul prophetically declared. Underline the two words, prophetically declared. Paul is giving us a divine message, and listen to the message that he's giving. He says, this know. Underline the word know, K-N-O-W. Let's do some writing here. Number one, what do we need to know? He says, be aware of the enemy's strategies. Be aware of how the enemy works to destroy, destruct, and corrupt you in your life as a child of the living God. So number one, be aware of the enemy's strategies. Number two, the word know means mark this. This is a call for discernment. And discernment means to comprehend. So what is God asking you to do that Paul is writing down as a divine inspiration from Holy God and Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit? He is saying you must have discernment. You must comprehend the word of the living God. You say, I can't do that. Jesus says, yes, you can. I have given you the Holy Spirit to give you spiritual enlightenment, to give you spiritual discernment, to give you everything you're ever going to need in a spiritual way to comprehend everything that I want you to understand as a child of the living God. Don't say you can't understand. I can understand, and the Holy Spirit is there to be your teacher and give you the discernment and enlightenment that every one of you need as a child of the living God. So there's no tapping out here. It is a call for believers to be wise in how they live, making the most of every opportunity. It is a call to remember we are guardians of the truth, and the truth is the word of the living God. We guard the truth of God. The truth of God is a trust that has been given us as the children of the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, the whole Bible is a trust because it is the word of God. And we must guard it with our lives and nothing less. We will be bold when we need to. We will confront those that say there is another doctrine. No, there is not. There is only one word of God, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. And that is never, ever going to change. Amen? Amen. Thank you. This know also that in the last days, perilous times. Underline the two words, perilous and times. What are we talking about? We're talking about terrible times. We're talking about aggressive times. Things are not going to slow down. Things that are against you and the Word of God and Christianity are not going to step backwards. They're going to be terrible and they're going to be extremely aggressive. What does that say about you and about me as a child of God? We too must be aggressive when we must be in a given situation. I'm not bouncing backwards and I'm not bouncing sideways. If you get in Terry Davis's face with a false doctrine, we're going to get aggressive in our conversation because I'm not going to back down or back off and say, well, whatever you want to believe, that's okay. It's not okay. It is damning and will send you to an eternal hell when you do not accept Jesus Christ as personal Lord and Savior. There is not many ways, there is only one way. When Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father except through Jesus Christ, period, closed, non-negotiable. Amen. Thank you. Back to the printout. And what does it say? In the last days, perilous, terrible, aggressive times shall come. What does shall come mean? It means you ain't going to stop it. It's going to come to slap you in the face and to knock you down and destroy your home life, destroy your church life, destroy everything that is good of God. Do you see what is ready to be opened? After that, he listed disturbing moral and social developments that will appear in society across the earth at the end of the age. Page 2. Look at point 1 at the top of page 2. Now, few people would question that we are living in dangerous and treacherous times, regardless of where they live. People have been rudely awakened to the truth that the world is no longer the place it was not so many decades ago. I don't like it. You see the change. But I'll tell you what, you're not here by accident in this time, in this place, in this church, in this community. You are living right now because God has chosen to work in you and through you to get His work done. And He's going to do it by those who are obedient to the Word of the living God and say, I am a servant of the living God. 2 Timothy 3:1. But understand this, underline this, and it could read a different way. Please listen. But understand this, but realize this, or let this impact your lives as you are hearing it. But understand this, realize this, let this impact your lives at this very moment. That in the last days, I'm going to read something you don't have. Just listen closely. In the last days, there will be suffering and struggle. So what are you going to do when suffering comes? You going to whine about it? You going to blame God? God, it's all your fault. I've been a good Christian. Why am I suffering? Well, while you're chewing on your tongue with the word suffering, why don't you take just a minute to ask God why His Son was sent to suffer? I think you'll get over yourself very quickly. In the last days, there will be suffering and there will be struggle. Am I going to struggle as a child of God? Yes. Is that you, Terry? No, that's Jesus. Jesus says we're going to struggle. Because we have an active enemy. His name is Satan. He has an active army. It is full of demons. And they're much wiser than you and I. That's why you've got to let God handle it through the Word and let the Holy Spirit handle it in you and through you. In the last days, there will be suffering and struggle preceding a divine victory. Don't give up. The divine victory is coming. The last days of the church age will be a changeful and troublous period marked by the appearance of many antichrists. 1 Timothy chapter 4 verse 1. You might want to turn to that one. 1 Timothy chapter 4 verse 1. It says the Holy Spirit clearly says that in latter times some will abandon the faith. The faith, which is the true faith, which is the trust God has given us, will abandon the faith and follow or embrace deceiving spirits. Now, does this bother you? He talks about deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. Well, let's define something. Look at the word spirits. Are these demons? Be careful. When you look up the word spirits here, it refers to false teachers that are going to be guided and instigated by demonic activity. So there's going to be false teachers that are demonically persuaded to bring false teaching into the house of the living God? Yes! There will be false teachers. How many will be easily persuaded because they do not know what they should of the Word of God? If Mormons can come to your door, if Jehovah's Witness can come to your door and persuade a lot of Baptists to pull out a Southern Baptist and go their direction, just think of what's going to happen when that demonic activity is really released out of the bag. Think of the power, think of the persuasion that is going to be out there in the world persuading those that are just on edge of Christianity. They play with it. Little by little, I go to church just every now and then, but I'm not really grounded and I'm not intimate with Jesus Christ. Well, just think, when that demonic persuasion hits the floor where you are, what do you think is going to happen to you? It's going to bounce you plumb off the wall. The Holy Spirit clearly says that in latter times some will abandon the faith and follow or embrace deceiving false teachers motivated by demons themselves and things taught by demons. Ephesians 6:12. Turn to that. Ephesians 6:12. If you don't believe me, you can read it here. Ephesians 6:12. You know what it says? For our struggle. Who's our? Our is the Christian. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, contending only with physical opponents, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly supernatural places. I want you to write this down somewhere. And here's what I want you to write down. Don't forget who you struggle with. Don't forget who you struggle with. For we struggle not with flesh and blood, but we struggle with what? That which is demonic. So the next time you want to bite somebody's head off, remember, that's not our struggle physically. Our struggle is with the supernatural. So always have this in your brain. Remember who you struggle with. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. I want you to turn to Matthew. You want to talk about demons for a moment? Matthew chapter 8, verse 28. I've heard some old boys say, bring it on. I can handle these demons. Sure you can, Jack. I hope nobody's here named Jack. Matthew 8, 28. When he arrived at the other side, that's Jesus, in the country of the Gadarenes, two demon-possessed men coming out of the tombs met him, Jesus. They were so extremely fierce and violent that no one could pass by that way. This is what is fixing to intensify in this world on planet Earth. Read it. And if you think a little pop in on church again, once a month, twice a month, every other month, and you're going to be good and you're going to have the faith, let me tell you something, that's wrong. This is so important when you read this. They were so fierce and so violent, no one could come around them. They had that great of fear of these two demon-possessed men. And the demonic, the Bible says, is going to get worse. How do I handle it? If you're confronted by it, here's how you do it. You quote the word of the living God and mean what you say. Don't say it with a quivering voice. Don't say it backing up. You say it with the authority of Jesus Christ as Lord of lords and kings of kings and also your blessed Savior. Amen? Let's just go ahead and read it. Get the gist of it. Verse 29. Now these demons, listen to what they do. And they screamed out, what business do we have in common with each other, Son of God? Have you come to torment us before the appointed time of judgment? They recognize Jesus. They know His deity. They know there is a judgment that is coming. And they know they have to submit to someone of higher authority. Do you see? Jesus is the authority they must submit to. This same Jesus is living on the inside of you. This same Jesus has given you His Word. You're going to have to let Jesus Christ take over your life, and that's living under His Lordship.
Amen.
Listen to this. Verse 30. Some distance from them, a large herd of pigs was grazing. The demons began begging Him, "If you drive us out, send us into the herd of pigs." I want you to make a note. These demonic spirits are always looking for bodies to inhabit. Demonic spirits are always looking for bodies to inhabit. Did they not inhabit the bodies of these two men? They were demon possessed. Now listen to this. He says, "Jesus, if you're going to kick us out of these two men, put us in some more bodies." Got it? So the bodies are the pigs. So they're always looking for bodies to inhabit. Now listen closely. And He said to them, verse 32, "Go." So they came out. Go. You say, "Terry, you going Pentecostal?" No, I'm just getting Bible. I hope I get more Bible before I die. Who said go?
Jesus.
You got that same Jesus?
Yes.
Is He on the inside of you?
Yes.
This is His Word? Do you think it'll work for you?
Yes.
You got it right. Look back to the Word. And He said to them, verse 32, "Go." So they came out of the men and went into the pigs, and the whole herd rushed down the steep bank into the sea and died in the water. Guess what? The demons didn't die. Only the pigs died. Water won't kill that which is supernatural. Back to the printout. 2 Timothy 3:1, "But understand this, that in the last days, dangerous times of great stress and trouble will come. Difficult days will be hard to bear." Well, I thought this Christianity was an easy path to walk. Where in the world did you get that one? From Joel Osteen? Nothing in Christianity is easy. The path is not wide. The path is narrow. And if you walk a narrow path, you have to pay attention if you walk on a narrow path or you'll overstep. Right, Johnny? We've all been there. Boy, when it's wide, you can run down it with your eyes closed. But brother, when it's narrow, you've got to pay attention to where you're walking or you misstep. Look at the word "know," present imperative tense. It refers to firsthand knowing. This means that whatever the Holy Spirit was about to say was so critical that it must be recognized. You might want to underline that one. It must be. It's no option. Must be acknowledged and must be known and understood. Paul then told us exactly what we must know. He alerted us that in the very last days, perilous times shall come. Make this little note, if you will. That is a godless self-centeredness. A godless self-centeredness. Black Lives Matter, Antifa. Self-centeredness. Reparations. Identity politics. It's all about me, brother. Black man, red man. Yellow man, brown man. If you knew the truth, you'd be wearing a shirt that says Jesus matters.
Amen.
It's not about racism. I'll say it again. It's about a black heart. All of this has to do with the heart.
Amen.
And when the heart gets right, things begin to get right. Chasing the dog's tail, isn't it? Back to the printout. Perilous, number one, refers to words spoken that were hurtful, harsh, cruel, ruthless, cutting, wounding, and therefore hard to bear. Perilous, number two. Second, this word perilous also refers to an environment besieged with high risk or danger. Isn't it amazing? You go in some of these liberal towns, you can't even walk down the street. Can't go to the store. 5 or 10 of them like a pack of wolves come around you, want to kick you in the head. I love this the other day. I didn't love it, but I thought, yeah, this is about par. You saw the white guy got kind of pulled out of his car. They beat him down pretty good. You could tell he was stunned. Then the guy comes around, makes a big circle. He's going to do a roundhouse kick. He comes around, takes that step, throws that leg out there and catches that old boy upside the head. He's already about half knocked out, stunned. And then he has the audacity to stand over him. Ah, look at me. I thought, boy, you're a big boy. He was already stunned and knocked out. You came up and kicked him in the head. What a man! Your daddy should have came and jerked your butt off the street and wore you out.
Amen.
And really the problem is not beginning in the streets. The problem began at home.
Amen.
Let your kid know what life is all about.
Yes.
I feared my daddy whipping me more than I ever feared the law catching me. I didn't want to go home if I got in trouble with the police. But you didn't see none of this mess back in the day. It went on in some big cities. I understand that. I've seen the films. But most had a daddy that would have looked at you, boy, and said, you know better. And that has got to come back again.
Amen.
Back to the printout, please. Point two, if you take all the original Greek words into consideration, it delivers a potent message from the Holy Spirit. Here's what it says. You emphatically must know what I am about to tell you. In the last days, periods of time will come that are hurtful, harmful, dangerous, unpredictable, uncontrollable, and high risk. And you say, can it get any worse? Yeah, it comes to your hometown. When they stand out in the street with that loudspeaker and saying, reparations, white man, you owe us your house. Bull! You stand out in front of it. You call enough of us. We're armed. We'll be there.
Amen.
Stand up. Don't lay down. Back to the printout. Point three. Because the word perilous is used to describe the demon-possessed men in Matthew 8:28. We've read that. It seems the Holy Spirit was warning us that demonic activity will be released in the last days that will bring about hurtful, harsh, cruel, ruthless, cutting, and wounding situations that will be emotionally hard to bear. Here's a note. We need each other. We've got to have each other. That's why in the house of the living God, there's no time and no room to argue with each other over frivolous things. We are here to nurture one another and pray for one another and engage in one another. How can I be of service to you? Let me tell you something. It's going to take all of us when this stuff really hits, if we happen to be here. The world, as a result of demonic activity, will become a place that is vicious, ferocious, fierce, unruly, uncontrollable, unpredictable, and dangerous. We know that these forces only have access to society through the people who give place to them. That is another reason why evangelism and sound teaching and preaching from the Bible is absolutely important. And you know I like the Gideons. I'm going to plug them again. This is why it's so important, the Gideon organization, and we have many here, that if you can give, you give. You know what? We don't have to have a speaker. You know what to do. And giving to the Gideons is one of the greatest things you can do. You know why? Because when you put money in their hand, they're placing the Bible in somebody else's hand. It may be near, it may be far. That's what they do. And let me tell you something. That's what we need to combat as much as we can of what's coming down the pike. Gideons, hold up your hands. Conley, 1, 2, 3, 4. Well, I'm going to say this. You pray about it. You want to give a little money, $5, $20, $10, $100? Look them up. Give it to them. They know what to do with it. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for this day. We thank you for the Bible that warns us of what's coming. Nothing needs to catch us by surprise. And we shouldn't have to say, I don't know what to do. Instructions are here and they are plentiful. I love these people. And you love them more than I do. I'm standing with them. We're here for you. Use us. Not what we think we need to do, but what you want us to do. That's what's important. And may we give to help place Bibles in people's hands near and far. Because there's a lot of people that are actually ready to hear the gospel. They just don't know it until somebody comes to them. It may be in your home. It may be that close in your family today. It may be in this church right now. May God's will be done. May God bless you that are here and all that are watching. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Listen.